Attention, film school students. Here are a few announcements. Item 1. What do you do when a kerchief is alive? Item 2. What do you do when a hat is an alien? Item 3. What do you do when you want to go someplace where everybody knows your name? Oh, and item 4. If anyone can find the film school janitors on their lunch break, tell them it's time to review Hanky Panky. It's an indie film, not like any other indie films.
Here's a little story about a trio of janitors. Might have heard they worked at a well-known film school. They picked up a few things other than trash. They might hate your movie or if drunk think it's cool. Every now and then they get together for a lunch break. Trash talks a movie, your TV, your streaming. Rodney and Jason and Sean Bale clean house. If you listen close, you can hear kids screaming.
All right, so today we are going through a unique experience. We actually have a filmmaker on our line here to talk with us for a film called Hanky Panky, not the old Gene Wilder and Gilbert Radner movie, but a new horror comedy film. We have Nick here with us. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, and I hope you know Gene Wilder and Gilbert Radner enjoy their last few weeks of being a higher search option on Google than that.
Right.
That's right.
Everything's going to change. This film, basically, Nick, do you want to take it away and kind of explain what the story is?
Why? Do you have any difficulty in summarizing it? Yeah, look, it's a crazy... I kind of pitched it as Clue on Acid. It's a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. It's got puppets. It's got, like, horror. It's mostly a comedy about a guy and his best friend is a talking napkin who gets accidentally invited to a family retreat where everybody starts getting killed, but also he meets his soulmate and they need to save humanity and also, you know, learn to overcome his anxiety at a dinner party and save the world.
That sounds
literally save the world.
Yep.
And it's Christmas.
Oh yes. I've got a lot of questions about the process of making this whole thing, or
it's
even
Christmas,
where the idea
so it goes
came
right next
from.
To, between Die Hard and Gremlins,
yes,
for Christmas.
Exactly,
movie.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
it's at least as Christmassy as Die Hard.
That's right.
So the premise to me, it reminded me a little bit when I was watching it. I was like, oh, this is a little bit like, I don't know if you've seen the film Brain Damage. It's an old like cult film where a guy has kind of this like beast lives in his head too, that's kind of talking to him and stuff. It reminded me a little bit of that, a little bit of like Evil Dead, but like a lot more Christmassy, I suppose, in that regard. A fun premise, like in the realm of like Rubber, you know, the French filmmaker. I can't remember his name offhand, but how did you come across? Like, I know you made a short film on this. What, in 2007 was the original beginning of this whole process?
In 2014, we made a short that also featured a talking napkin and sort of the base of some of these characters. But it's pretty, and that was a really cute sort of rom-commy. It's just one scene. And that was part of where we got the idea to do this. But that it was mostly that our team had made a lot of shorts and made a lot of music videos, and we were fed up with it. And we were like, we got to make a feature. And so we were like, okay, whoever can write a script that we are capable of shooting fastest, we'll make that one. And so 2 weeks later, I was like, guys, I think I won. and from there, like, it was really, Hanky came out of just like, what can we get away with? What can we, like, if we're just determined to, no matter what, make a feature film, what do we have? And we had, you know, like, my co-director, who is also my wife, who also plays Rebecca in the movie, yeah. Okay. Lindsay Hahn. Her dad, Jimmy Hahn, who also is the composer. Look, this is made by just a very tight knit group of friends and family.
That's what I was looking up stuff. I was kind of noticing that you all worked together on a couple other things, and then you were also in this film too. But carry on.
Well, because we needed, you know, we were all like, look, we have a cabin. Lindsay's dad lives in a cabin in the woods.
Okay, that was going to be part of my question: is how did you get everybody to go out into the? We are in Detroit, based in Detroit. We just had a late snowfall all of a sudden yesterday that kind of, I'm like, I'm done with winter. And I'm like, how do you get all your friends together to film a movie out in the cold, basically?
Well, we're in LA, so I promised everybody a weekend of snowboarding and no snowboarding with that, I think. But like, but I sort of lured everyone out with like, it'll be like a fun summer camp vacation.
he promised them lots of hanky panky.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is what was so crazy about the production is that we all stayed in that cabin. Like everybody who worked on the movie stayed in that cabin that we also shot in. It's a 2-bedroom cabin. It's not a huge, it's great. It's a great cabin. Oh, but, God. But like we all sort of crammed in there and we figured it would be completely crazy. And our hope was always, well, maybe if some of that craziness gets on screen, then maybe we have something.
Oh yeah. Was it is there an actual basement then, or was the upstairs kind of filmed as the basement for the locations, or how did you guys do that stuff?
No, there's that basement area was there.
Okay.
I mean, everything is basic. We basically used every inch of the cabin that we could.
Okay.
Now I want to ask Rodney and Randall here, because I kind of picked up on it right away. Did you guys notice anything about all the characters' names?
Well, you said Simpsons at the beginning.
Opening credits. Yes, okay. The opening credits. You have everybody. Where'd that idea come from? Where everybody was listed as kind of like the Treehouse of Horror opening with everybody's names.
Yeah, that's where Treehouse of Horror.
Was it just for your guys' own like entertainment or any purpose other than that, or was it just kind of just an extra gag on top of a?
I think that we toyed a lot with how to open this movie and to do that, but like we really wanted to like give, you know, you want to sort of tip the audience about what the tone is going to be of this movie. And so Treehouse of Horror was pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So sort of putting, you know, homages to The Shining and to Treehouse of Horror and to a bunch of those kinds of things right up front, sort of, the hope is that you get, oh, okay, I think I know what kind of comedy I'm in for here.
Yeah, I mean, I would say right away I was like, I go, there's no way Jacob DeMonte Finn. I'm like, Demon Finn. I'm like, what? I go, right away it stood out to me. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And then as it kept going, I go, as soon as you get to the RIP, I forget who got to be RIP something. I was like, oh, okay, this is 100% what's going on.
All right, I got the names.
Okay, what are the names?
I guess he did it so nobody forgets their names, so everybody knows their names, right?
Yeah.
So cheers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because even your logo is designed in that style, correct?
Yeah, yeah. That's you'd be surprised that most people do not catch that it's Cheers until you sort of go, oh, yeah, it's a movie about Sam and Diane, Woody, Norm, and then everyone's like, oh,
yeah, it'd either be Cheers or the song by John Mellencamp, you know, Jack and
Jack and Diane.
Never mind. Okay. But the like other than the idea of the napkin, so we have a napkin that's sentient, and he thinks he's crazy. Sam, our main character, who actually bizarrely his acting reminded me of a lot of Peter Dinklage.
Okay.
Like a lot of his intonations, his face, yeah.
Peter Dinklage, because it's interesting because he was going for Peter Sellers.
Oh, okay. But then maybe Peter Dinklage goes for Peter Sellers.
Well, at least it wasn't Peter Griffin.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked that the idea when, because I saw, you know, Seth Green's name in the beginning, I wasn't sure if that was going to be actually him because all the names kind of played out. And then Claire Grant, I recognized her from other films. She was in a couple like horror films and stuff through the years because I think they're both married, correct? Still?
Yeah.
Probably, okay. But yeah, the premise of the film with the him showing up having his anxiety and a talking napkin, again, if you've never seen Brain Damage, you've got to see that film. But again, going back to the Evil Dead references, the fact that you all stayed in the same,
that's what I thought about too,
location. Yeah. Like if you've ever heard all the horror, like horror stories, you know, of them all staying in that place trying to make this film, you guys obviously had probably a lot of fun hanging out. How long did the whole process take to make the film?
Well, there's like, you know, there's a few months that we spent all sort of writing it and rewriting it together, and really developing it. But then we shot it really quickly. There was like 3 weeks that we shot the vast majority of it. And then, I spent 7 years editing it.
Oh, okay.
Because that part is hard. And I didn't know how to do it.
I was actually going to comment on that. Actually, I liked a lot of the scenes, especially the ones that you were in with, like the quick cut edits for the jokes, especially when you dug up the snowsuit.
Snowsuit, yeah.
I'm like, in the editing, I always enjoy a good edited joke with the pacing of that, and I did notice that. So kudos to you for that.
You know, part of that is because Lindsay and I edited it together, and there's some there's some bits that are more Lindsay, and there's some bits that are more me. The quick jump cut thing is a me thing, but then some of the like I don't know, the scene where Carla and Sam are sitting on the couch and he realized, like, they both realize they can both hear the napkin, and he tells the story of his about his father, which I think is, like, in many ways the most...
The blood moon?
Yeah, the blood moon scene, which is, like, that was all, like, that's, like, one of those, like, start to finish that was Lindsay, like, conceiving it and executing it directorially and then editing it, and that's some of it just really, like, the silliest. Like, that's a little bit more seriously done, but then the scene is very silly, and some of the stuff that's, like, more formally silly, which is jump cuts and stuff, that's me.
Okay.
How was a lot of it, or any of it, improvised, or was it all pretty much what you kind of put
on
the page?
Mostly.
Okay.
No, I mean, because this was all our friends, I wrote the characters with specifically every single actor in mind, and then we all kind of, like, developed it together and spent time, like, not even rehearsing, but really just, like, doing improv and doing stuff where everybody got a real hand in developing the character and playing it the way they wanted to play it. And so, like, you know, by the time we were shooting it, everybody sort of knew their character really well and sort of crafted it. And then we let people, all the actors improv at least a little bit.
Was Seth Green always the person you had originally lined up for the play, the voice of Hanky Panky?
No, he was the voice of the hat.
Oh, the voice of the hat. My bad.
You know, it's funny because, like, we didn't ask Seth to be in the movie because I didn't, you know, he's significantly more famous than all of the rest of us. And we didn't want him to feel like we were just trying to feel like, hey, we're making this really stupid little movie and we want to, like, use your name to help make it. But then afterwards he was a little bit like, why did I get to ask to be in this movie? But I did have in the back of my head the whole time, you know, he's a friend and we're all friends, and we knew, you know, Claire was there from the very beginning. And so there was part of me that was like, well, I want the hat to sound like Skeletor, and I know that Seth has Skeletor in his repertoire.
Yes, yes.
I was thinking
Robot Chicken.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's awesome. That I was awesome. Wondering if that's somebody you already have in mind when you come up with those kind of characters, then you're able to get that person too. So that's awesome.
Exactly. Well, we knew we had that as a possibility. And so, like, we had to, because Lindsay does a bit of a Skeletor when she sort of melds consciousnesses with the hat.
Yeah, standing on the table.
So we locked ourselves into it being a Skeletor voice, always knowing that probably I was going to ask Seth to come in and do the Skeletor voice. And then he really, I like, kudos to him. I think he really knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for coming in to a basically picture-locked movie and then just, like, adding a bunch of stuff. Like, a lot of times I was like, okay, you're going to enjoy this person's soul, and if you can sing a little song while you do it, that would be great. Action.
Now for Woody, I don't see, like, on the IMDb listing or anything, you know, who did the voice for Woody?
That's all Toby. Toby, who is puppeteering Woody. Okay. And really, I think, doing an incredible job bringing him to life, given that it's literally just an app.
Apparently, Toby also likes being naked, apparently, too.
I don't know if he particularly enjoys it, but he was open to it.
But yeah, the whole fight scene at the end when you have the hat versus the napkin, even though you see all the strings, which I know is part of the joke, it was very well very well puppeteered. Like, I legit thought the flips and the with the sound effects, like, adding to it. I love the animations for, like, when you did the first one for the hat, I kept going, where's Woody?
You know what?
Where's
Woody? You know what? This is great. Literally earlier today, Seth was still giving me shit for how long that fight scene is. And I was like, it's perfect.
That's what Rando and I was like, well, how'd the fight scene seem to you? I go, this seemed okay. He goes, did it seem like a little long to you? I'm like, no, not really. It was okay. He was like, yeah, I guess so. So you're right. That's funny. You had that discussion too, because I was kind of nervous about bringing that up, to be honest.
It's basically the same kind of realm as, like, your chicken fight and Family Guy, where, like, the longer it goes, then you're back in, and, like, you perfectly save the blue animation for behind Woody.
Right, right.
Like, it was perfectly saved.
I enjoyed the power up graphics and the sound effects. That was funny.
When Sean first came to us and he said, hey, you guys got to try this movie out. Somebody, you know, reached out, watched the movie, and you said the movie was Hanky Panky. And I was like, shit. I'll be honest with you. I was like, I
was like,
well,
yes,
I watched the movie. I don't want to, like, I don't know about it. I don't know anything about it. Sean knew familiar with it. And I go, I hope I don't like shit on this movie or not like it or anything. And you sit down and watch it. And I be honest with you, I thoroughly enjoyed it. A lot more than it caught me off guard. Like got clubbed in the side of the head. I liked it. I thoroughly did, Nick. I enjoyed it a lot, to be honest with you. So
thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are surprised by it because we didn't sort of think about it this way, but it was like, we're going to make this DIY zero budget little thing and just do our absolute best. And I think like most movies that sort of are in, like it sometimes gets confused or lumped in with, I think, movies that are sort of like intentionally dumb, but like not in a bad way, but just like, oh, this is no budget and it's kind of stupid and that's kind of whatever. And I love those movies and I watch them.
But I do too. I wish I could get these guys to watch more of those kinds of movies.
Well, nothing's better than a movie that's self-aware of itself and what it is, right?
Yeah. Right.
And that's great. That's what's great about this one too.
And but this one's not, it's not like Sharknado. You know what I mean? Like, no. it's we're really shooting for the fucking stars with trying to make this, like, we're committed to trying to make a good movie, which I think, I hope what we pull off is that's kind of like unpretentious and endearing about it at the end of the day.
Now, I think I mentioned it too. We've done a couple, like, we've watched a couple. I would say there was that one film during, COVID that was like a kind of like Antrim, the movie that kills people. It was like another, you know, DIY, you know, film that kind of had like a little bit of a thing saying, oh, if you watch this movie, people die.
What about the cat movie you made us watch?
Our Detroit filmmaker, Detroit filmmaker made a movie. We found one too. And you know, I always appreciate like you're doing it. You're making it happen, you know? And I love that. I respect that. And you got all your friends together. Everybody had fun. It shows through everybody.
It does show.
You know, so I like that stuff.
Yeah. Nobody got hurt. Nobody killed each other. Both those things probably almost happened a bunch. But like at the end of the day, it was really fun.
At what point did you want Lilith to have two faces?
Oh my gosh.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Does that work? Do you guys like that? I don't know about that.
I did. I like.
Well, as soon as somebody said something about Janice, it's one of those things where you know, we're living in the Matrix and there's glitches, and I feel like it's come up twice in this last week. Somebody talking about the god Janice with two faces, and as soon as they said that in this movie, I was like, oh, okay, we're gonna be in store for this, because she was, you know, they wouldn't show her. You kind of saved her.
I thought you said she was deformed, and she's like, wait for it, just wait for it. I'm like, wait for what? This lady's look, you know, she's looking okay, and then they turn around. Oh, the head on the face on the back of her head. Oh, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was a good time.
There's things in, look, this movie takes a lot of really big swings that you could easily be incredibly dumb or stupid and maybe don't work. And the four and a half minute fight scene between a hat and a napkin, I think, is a big swing. Uh-huh. And then the other really big swing is that this person's going to have a face on the back of their head. I'm so impressed that you've not only got the Cheers references, but also the Roman god Janus, which is sort of buried. Some of these references are really buried in there. And you take these wild swings and hope that they're going to work. Like, and I fought for the long battle scene. I did not fight for, I didn't like that two phases thing. Like after we tried it, I was like, oh no, this didn't work. This doesn't make any sense. This is so dumb.
Was that more of a Lindsay idea then? Or was it just a group kind of idea? Or
I think that was a group idea. I don't want to blame anybody in particular.
I don't want to call your wife out either. I don't want to call.
He said blame. How long was the fight scene at the end originally? Did you cut something from that fight scene?
Yeah, it was 7.5 minutes, and I got talked down. Like I had a 7-minute cut of it that I loved, temp music, and I was like, "This is it." And Lindsay was like, "This, you need to cut this to 30 seconds." And I was like, "No,
30 seconds.
No, it needed to."
I was like, "Have you seen Avatar? It's 45 minutes of the same thing." Yeah. Like
Dragon Ball, an entire episode, like 10 episodes is one.
Hey, you got to back off Dragon Ball right now.
Yeah, you got to back off Dragon Ball right now.
Oh, so fuck. Go ahead, Sean. You got another question lined up?
We compromised. We compromised at 4.5. I was like, I can cut it in half, but no less.
That's good. For you, honestly, when I found out you were the actor playing Dr. Crane in there, and as soon as you got killed, I was actually kind of disappointed because I actually was enjoying your character a lot. Was there a reason why you kind of took yourself out early, or
so he can direct and do everything?
Yeah, so I could help direct the movie.
That's
like honestly, the order of death of characters, because there's a pretty good body count in this film. The order was determined almost never by story. And almost entirely by necessity. Like, people basically died in the order that we lost the availability of the actor for one reason or another.
Okay. All right.
And because we didn't have a choice. We had to do it that way. Right. But then also, I think that makes it maybe a little less predictable, because it's like, it doesn't really fit into an expected story structure in some ways, because we couldn't. We just had to, like, oh, I guess Claire's got to die because she's got to get back to LA. Like,
right.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
That, no, that makes sense. And then the moose shrooms, like, that's what you were actually saying. Well, like, it sounded like it, and then the subtitle was saying moose shrooms with the hallucinogenics for the Diane character to go out into the... I liked that, too, where she's seeing it as, like, a castle. Now, was that supposed to be actually the interior of the ice shanty, or was that both in their own minds?
I mean, I think... What did you think?
I took it as both because, especially Cliff not being, he was just kind of following the beer. Again, it was one of those things that I like it because it's more up to the interpretation. We're talking about a lot of weird things anyway. Like, who laid out the beer? I don't know. Did the hat lay out the beer? You know,
of course he did.
It's fun.
It was a trap.
To me, it's all the fun things. Was there any intention behind any of it, or was it more like we're just having fun and.
A little bit of both. Like, I have lengthy explanations for a lot of the things in the movie that are probably confusing or left ambiguous. And, you know, look, the first cut of this movie was almost 3 hours long.
Wow.
And that's partly why it took us so long to cut it down. But, like, more and more into the editing process, we became less and less interested in some of the, like, sort of, like, just, like, cause and effect logical details that needed to... we thought maybe needed to be there, and more just like trying to edit story of the relationships between the characters. And so like the more we did that, the more it was like, do we really need to like understand that like Harry lures Cliff with the beers to the ice shack so that he can try to get him in the same place as her to open up his mind so he can steal his soul. Like at the end of the day, fuck it. Who cares? He'll just find a bunch of snow beers and get there. Like no one cares. It'll work.
No, that's fair. Were there any scenes then that, since it was a longer cut, was there anything after the fact, if you got down to this length, was there anything that you're like, oh God, I wish I could have fit this one thing in, or are you pretty content with it overall?
Oh, there's so many whole storylines that are on the cutting room floor. There's an incredible scene in my mind where when Sam is out looking for Cliff and Diane in the snow, there was a whole scene where he actually found the ice shack, but they had already left it. And he goes in there and he's like, and him and Woody investigate the ice shack and put together what happened. And he makes himself a cocktail. And then there's this scene where like Sam and Woody have this real heart to heart about like, Woody is like, let's forget your friends. Let's just go back. Like if we just leave now and just head downhill, we can save ourselves. And Sam, you know, sort of bucks himself up and then also that like this is, it was a moment where he does this incredible monologue and Jacob DeMonica is so talented who did it. In the monologue, he says all the names back to back, and it's the first time, it's the only time in the movie that you do that. And then he's got the cocktail in his hand and he looks right into the camera and says, cheers. Like he's like, we have to go save, you know, Diane and Cliff and Norm. And like, he just lists all of them and then looks at the camera and goes, cheers.
So that leads me to one of the jokes I also think was a joke by omission too, where when they're like, let's introduce everybody, I believe this was meant to be your joke in there too, was in the let's introduce everybody, and Norm goes, hi, I'm Norm, and nobody says, hi, Norm. Was that on purpose or?
No, he's just saying hi, Norm, but I like that there's a joke in the negative space there.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. Filmmaking, I know it takes a lot of work putting everything together. That's why I always respect everyone that does it. And then I think that there's also like a joy in the happy accident. So if that's a good happy accident, I enjoyed that joke.
I think there was a joke right after that when they go, we're definitely not Mormons. Right after that, Norm goes, we're Normans. And I thought it was so funny, but it was one of those things where you just have to like modulate like how many stupid jokes you can just sort of squish into a scene. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and to keep the pace, this is why it took so long to edit, like to keep the pace moving and to like find that fine line of like how self-aware the movie can get before it takes you too far out of it. It's just, you know, it was a lot of trial and error and a lot of cuts and then a lot of despair and then a lot of walking away from it for 6 months and coming back and being like, okay, let's cut it down again.
Yeah, they say that art's never finished, it's abandoned, so that's how it goes.
This one's finished. This one, yeah, we took the time to do it. We finished it. Maybe it's the first time.
So what's next on getting this out there? What do you have planned?
Oh, this is coming out. I don't know how this happened. We sold it to a distributor who's putting it online on April 19th. So it'll be on Amazon and Google and Apple and, you know, all the other places.
That's awesome.
You can, you know, VOD.
Would it be a stream or purchase? Purchase, I assume?
Yeah, so first it'll be available, I don't know what price point yet, but to rent and or buy on those services. And then probably eventually in, you know, it'll be on places with for free with either ads or subscriptions, but we don't know that yet.
That's awesome. That's really
cool. That is awesome.
And then what's the website for it too, so we can get that out there?
So hankypankythemovie.com. And also if you fuck up and just write hankypankymovie.com, guess what? I bought that domain too, and it will redirect you there.
Somebody, you squatted out and you got it.
Because I think when Sean had announced it, I was like, oh, let me see the trailer. And I was watching that work, and I said, oh, yes, I can't wait to watch this.
Yes.
Okay, and then when you let out Lost to watch it, now thank you for that. That was a good time.
Yep.
That was a good time.
I appreciate that so much.
We appreciate the opportunity to get us a chance to
watch it. Yeah, this is exciting for us, because, again, it's the first time we're really getting to talk to somebody that's out there doing it. And I'm glad you found us and invited us to take part in this, too, so...
Well, I did. Like I said, I think I said this in my email to you. I was like, I was just looking at every single podcast, and I listened to a couple of your guys' episodes. I was like, oh, these guys are fucking really sharp and like getting all this stuff. And he's like, I listened to the one on the creator and on the series Curse. Oh, yeah. I just thought, you guys are doing really good work here.
I appreciate it.
Really? Because I told Sean, I was like, there's no way somebody likes our shit. It's like, there's no way.
Exactly what he said.
Because we do it just to get by on a Saturday night, to be honest with you. So.
But yeah, we.
Well, I mean, I think that's like every podcast.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one time when I first started doing this, I told one of my family members, I go, no, we're going to be just a bunch of guys talking about movies. Like, that's a good idea for a podcast, right? But so. Yeah, Nick, we appreciate the time. It was good talking to you.
Appreciate
you got, do you got anything coming out, like planning ahead, you know, another next project now that this one's kind of getting ready to see the light of day for everybody?
Only Hanky Panky 2, which will be subtitled Hanky Panky 2, : It's okay if you didn't see the first one.
Oh.
And that one, like, if the first one is really Clue then on acid, then the second one's going to be much more like Independence Day on acid. So a big alien invasion movie. Going to do that. And it's a trilogy. Hanky Panky 3, Hat Trick, will be more like Apocalypse Now.
Hat Trick, that's funny.
That works.
He's already got it planned out. That's
are you going to pull a Zemeckis and film both of them at the same time? Or
I think that's really like, that's up to how much money we're able to play. Because the first one, you know, didn't cost anything. And then, you know, hopefully it would be nice. I think we're at different places in our lives now because it took a long time to do that one. Like, I've got kids now. It would be, I don't know if I can just, like, disappear into a blizzard for a month shooting a movie.
Right.
I got kids, too, but I think about disappearing into a blizzard once in a while.
Oh, yeah, it's tempting.
Yes.
It's tempting.
I love my kids. I love my wife not hear that part.
So, I appreciate it very much, Nick. Enjoyed it a lot. Great for celebrating 420. Get rented on 419, save it for 420 or beyond, and enjoy it. It's a good, fun, like, wacky movie, really.
That is the idea. I am told that we made a stoner comedy. I think maybe we did.
Yep, I think you did.
No, I think you did. It was great.
All right, cool. Thank you, Nick, very much.
Thank you, Nick.
Guys, I appreciate this so much.
We appreciate
you. And fan of the pod. I'm going to keep listening now.
Oh, I appreciate that, too.
Well, now I got to be careful what I say more.
All right.
Have a good one, Nick.
Okay, we're going back to work.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay.
All right. So, Nick, I guess, do you want me to save this for a certain day to post it? Or, like, should I post it on 419? Do you want it beforehand, kind of as some hype? Or
so any like, what we're pushing for is, and the we here is that I have a publicist who is telling me these things, because I don't know, I've never done this, which is that the sort of the week or 2 weeks leading up to it are the any time in that window is the best. But also, anytime is great. So whatever works for you, sort of, you know, the 4/12, I guess, to 4/19 is like, that's our ideal window.
Okay.
Or anytime right before that.
Yeah. Cause we typically put them up. I try to get them up Mondays and Fridays, different ones. So if you want to pick a day, I will 100% give you that day. So if you want to pick whatever that,
He's right, probably a week before the launch.
Yeah, like what is the 19th that ends up being? Is that a Friday?
Yeah, the 19th is a Friday. So if it was like the Monday right before that,
I can do that.
If that's
all right,
that's fantastic.
I will for sure post that on
the
Monday.
14th or something like that.
Yep, that sounds good.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for finding us and talking with us. That was
good
great.
Luck with Hanky Panky 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough pitch to get money off for Hanky Panky 2, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how the first one does.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to kind of watch the ride, too, for this one, just to see, you know, how much traction you can get going, too.
We're in your corner.
Yep.
Well, we did get I can't talk too much about it because we're still negotiating, but we're hoping.
No.
Okay.
Well, I won't say anything. We're negotiating.
Yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble with anything, too. So
there's some investors who are talking about giving us money for some marketing, which would be because, you know, we don't have anything. So this is I'm mostly just doing it myself. But if this investment company comes through and gets us, we'll have a marketing company on board. Then hopefully the next couple of weeks we'll have, you know, targeted ads on Instagram and TikTok and stuff. And
cool.
That gives the movie a fighting chance.
You could do a Hanky Panky OnlyFans account.
I should have mentioned that too. How much I loved Toby's like all his lines. How horny that napkin was. Like I love how
when
horny.
He's talking about like, don't cry, you're so sexy. I was like, I can't handle it.
drop a Hanky Panky OnlyFans. He'll get that money.
Yeah, even with the fact that like the napkin's like, oh yeah, I banged that. Givici, you know, sweatshirt, yeah. You know, like, I love that. I loved all that stuff. It was funny.
No, at first I thought that he was, like, the guy was just crazy and he just talking to the napkin. But when the two people was on the table and they did that weird, like, tongue kiss, and he was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, yes, this is about to be great.
That moment was kind of, like, built into, like, what is this, you know, when you first come up with an idea for the movie, you're like, what would happen in this movie if it's this horror movie in a cabin with a napkin? And I was like, well, the first thing that I thought of was like, oh, that napkin's got to be under the table and see some shit that nobody else thinks he can see because they're under a table. Like, that's like the first trope. We're like, we got to do that. We got to figure out a way to have him be like, what the fuck is going on?
That was perfect. I love that.
And it does validate the character as an actual character too.
Yeah, it does because he's like, hey, choice. We gotta go.
But yeah, I appreciate it very much.
So silly.
Yep. Thank you very much. Well, I enjoyed it.
Thank you guys again. And look forward to listening to it and telling everybody about the podcast.
Do you have any, like, actually, I should probably ask that too, so I can throw that in. Do you have like any Instagram handles for it or any kind of like sites to follow?
Yeah, we're like at Hanky Panky Movie on everything.
Okay. At Hanky Panky Movie.
Instagram and Twitter and.
He said
I made a LinkedIn page. I don't know if that's going to produce a lot.
So, all right, cool.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Yep. Right,
have a good one, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks for completing this course. For more lessons, follow the Film School Janitors on Instagram and Facebook under Film School Janitors and on Twitter under FS Janitors. Please rate and review this podcast where we may have found it, and feel free to email us at filmschooljanitors@gmail.com. Now get back to your studies.